Good evening. Of course, we have this Saturday night, this Matzah Shabbos is Tisha B'Av. And I just wanted to mention one thing before we get on to the Sedra. First of all, tonight is my father's, the 25th yahrzeit of my father, and I never appreciated how much he shaped my thinking because he always tried to get me to express myself rather than find out what somebody else said. He encouraged me to have my own thoughts. And while it didn't work automatically when I was younger, but as you age, you realize that's part of what a father wants to do, and that's what he did, and it certainly has left its mark when it gives me the impetus, and I try to pass that on to my children as well. And so just to say that, but he died the week of Tisha B'Av, of course, and my mother as well, which was Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. But getting beyond that, which is very interesting, we wonder why, I mean, the Nevi'im, we have Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, make up the Tanakh. And Nevi'im are all the Nevi'im that God told him what to say, and just like God was told what to say, but the Nevi'im did have a little bit of wiggle room, so to speak. And they were able to put things in their own words as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who now in the Barim does it. But the interesting thing with Yirmiyahu is we have the Nevi'im, while they were given a commandment what to say and to put it in their own words, we have Eicha, which is, we read during the course of a year, five Megillos. And we have a regular tune that we read for the laning on Shabbos and Yontif and Rosh Hashanah. We have a different trup, and on the Megillus we have one trup, and Megillus Esther we have another set of notes, and for Eicha we have another set of notes. Very interesting, and they set the mood basically for what we're reading, and it's somewhere in between a happy tune and a sad tune on the Megillus that we read on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. And Megillus Esther is somewhere in the middle. Eicha, of course, is a very sad tune. Which brings us to the point over here is, we know one thing very simply. Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha as well. So why, if we say the Megillus, the reason that they're not included in the Tanakh, in the Nevi'im, is that it's not included in the Nevi'im is for the simple reason that they were not said b'nevuah, and they were said with Ruach HaKodesh, certainly, with divine inspiration, but they weren't actually commanded by God to give over any particular message. So that takes that kind of a situation, which is very interesting. But the fact is, we know, but Yirmiyahu was a Navi, and when he spoke with nevuah. So how come Eicha is not included in the Nevi'im? So how come Eicha is not considered in the Nevi'im? But the point is, we know one very basic thought that we are always told, and we learn it from Yaakov as well, that Nevuah can only be given to somebody who's in a calm state. He is Mishruya Mitoch Simcha. He has to be very much at ease with himself and, you know, feeling well, and so that his mind is clear. If he's very troubled, like Yaakov was troubled with Yosef, then, of course, it wouldn't be, he wasn't able to know exactly what happened to Yosef. Otherwise, he might have. Yirmiyahu, even though his prophecies in the Sefer Yirmiyahu were not the best of all circumstances, but he still, there was still hope at the end, that there was still somehow a light at the end of the tunnel. But when he composed Eicha, he was in prison at the time. And since he was in prison at the time, he certainly wasn't of sound mind and body. And so therefore, he said it without Nevuah. And therefore, Eicha is not part of the Nevi'im, even though it was written by the same person that wrote Yirmiyahu and was certainly part of Nevi'im, as it wasn't given to him by God, so to speak. And it was something that he composed on his own completely. And he certainly, he had no reason to, he was thinking of the here and now, what was going on in his life. Now we move on to the Sedra, and the same way now Moshe But Moshe is on a different level, and that's why we always say Moshe is the only one of the prophets who spoke Baklaria Hameira. He saw things clearly. He didn't see things in a dream or in a vision. And now when he begins to speak, he is saying things that not, so to speak, not very clear to us anyhow. We need all the Mefarshim, but he knew full well that the Bnei Yisrael understood completely what he was talking about. And we see that he says, for instance, that Achara Sayome Chorei. And this really is a very, very tremendous and powerful lesson that we have right at the beginning. What is the point of telling us that we are 11 days away from Chorei? Very simply, they've been in the Midbar now close to 40 years. What he's letting them know is that look how long it took you to make an 11-day trip. In other words, it's like when you're going someplace and you don't ask directions and you're lost and you ride around and ride around, you could have saved yourself a lot of time, you know, for various reasons if you get stuck on the way or you get lost, and it could take you a lot longer. And if you had to spend 5 minutes getting directions, you would have known in the first place and made the trip a lot shorter. And that's what Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael. For all the missteps that you took in the Midbar, you took an 11-day trip and you morphed it into 40 years. How silly and how foolish was that? Look what you could have accomplished. We could have been here so much sooner. And he starts to mention, we had the Egel, we had the Meraglim, and various other, we had Korach, we had the Vayhi Om Kimisonim, one misstep after another that caused a lot of delays. And the Egel cost us 1 year because I had to go back up twice, months apart, and spend 40 days and 40 nights in Shemayim, come down and teach you again and go through the whole process and repeat and repeat and repeat. And it was very tiresome. And so this is what he's trying to say. We're now on the precipice of going into the land. Don't make the same mistakes again and again. You have to listen, and I'm going to give you all the commandments. And, of course, he goes on to tell them very simply, like to appoint your judges, to appoint all the people in front of you. And he understands that as long as he's there, and they were asking him to appoint, and he says, I'll give you this one last time. I will appoint your leaders at this point. But you'll never grow up unless you start doing things for yourself, because unfortunately, as you well know, I will not be here to run interference for you. And he says that very simply when he says, Gambi hisanaf Hashem biglalchem leimar. And the interesting thing, God got angry with me for your sake. And in other words, what does that mean? He got angry with me for your sake. And the point is, if you notice, in the time when Abraham comes down from Mitzrayim with Sarah, and he realizes that Vayirosa Sarei Paro by Halu Yisrael Paro, and they when they saw how beautiful Sarah was, and he says, he told Sarah, he gave her instructions to say that you're my sister, very simply, and he says, Leman yitavli ba'avurech v'choyso nafshi biglolech. And if you look up the word in the dictionary, ba'avurech and biglolech basically have the same translation, but there is a difference in the meaning. When something is done ba'avurech, it's done for me. Biglolech is for you. In other words, Avraham was telling Sarah, tell them you're my sister. You're my sister. If you tell them you do this for me, then I will be alive, and I will remain alive for your sake, so you're not a widow. But the point is, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Gambi hisanaf Hashem biglalchem. In other words, I convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I made sure that God, I would take the hit for you. I let God blame me for the Chet HaMeraglim. I took it on my shoulders, and therefore, because I took it on my shoulders, is one of the only reasons that you are surviving and going into the land. So what have you done for me, as we'll see when we get to next week's parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you know, I prayed for you and nobody prayed for me. But Gambi Hisanaf Hashem Biglalchem, I did it for you. I took one for the team. And that's what I want you to know. God blamed me for the Meraglim, and I didn't say anything because I put ideas into your mind and I thought I had more faith in you. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But one thing is, we see at the end that Moshe Rabbeinu complains when we read that pasuk with Eicha, Eicha esol levadi torchachem u'masachem v'rifchem. It's a very heartfelt Moshe tearing out his heart. He's, you know, wearing his heart on his sleeves, and he's saying, I can't do it anymore for 40 years. But what does it mean, Eicha esol levadi? Hasn't he been doing it for 40 years? But the truth of the matter is, no, he hasn't been doing it alone. While the responsibility was all his, up to a few months ago, he had Aaron and Miriam. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago in Parshas Chukas, when Aaron and Miriam passed away, that it left him, he was bereft of any real aid, people that he could totally trust. Aaron ran interference for many of the situations between the men, and Miriam ran interference for many of the things that went on for the women. And now, Eicha esol levadi, I'm alone. It's a one-man show, and I can't go on anymore this way. It's just beyond me. And things are piling up. And I wanted to go into the land, but if I'm going to go into the land and have to deal with your squabbles, I am not capable of doing it anymore. But the only way I see, the only way that you can grow up is that if you appoint your judges. I can't be hold your hand all the time. And that's why one of the reasons, as I mentioned last week, that God told Moshe, you're going to have to go, because they'll never grow up. If you try to wonder why sometimes your children don't attain maturity, they don't see things. But I know when I once told them, I noticed somebody was calling his daughter, who was already 25, 30 years old, and he kept calling her on the phone, what can I do for you, my child? I said, stop calling her your child, and then maybe she'll grow up. And the point is, you have to let them make their own decisions and let them make their own mistakes. We can guide them, but you can't force them. And if they don't learn to make their own mistakes, then they will not grow up. They'll just depend on you further, which is a very difficult situation. And Moshe is telling them, there are reasons you might think that why have we been wandering for this past 40 years? The truth of the matter is, everything was for a reason. And as I told you, the first couple of years were all these things happening, were piling up. And then for the Meraglim, he's mentioning it and he's building and telling him exactly why. But we didn't let you twist in the wind. Let me ask you a very simple question, he says to them. Did you want for anything in the 40 years? You had water, you had food, you had clothing, you had everything you could possibly want. You had no dangis, you had nothing that you could have wanted. You wanted meat, I gave you meat. You have carbonis, you have all the food you could possibly want. You had the wealth. You spent it on the egel, a lot of it. So, listen, but you were able to survive in a desert that normally nobody could survive. It just doesn't work that way. You traveled, and it says, Lo chasarta davar, the parasha says. You never were missing anything that you needed to survive. I need you to understand that. And, of course, that's why things like Tisha B'Av happen, because we don't appreciate what we have, and we have to spend more time appreciating all the things that we do have. But when we don't understand, when things like Tisha B'Av happen, the one pasuk that always rings true to me is, we have all these sad events that have been happening this year, And we try to make sense of it. And you have people who foolishly start to look for reasons to blame certain situations on various events. And the Haftorah says very simply a famous pasuk that it always tells us, Mikaf regel v'ein v'ad rosh ein bo mason. From head to toe, you can't figure out why things happen. And that's the truth. We can't. You can't put your handle on it, because when people think they can understand why something happens, in other words, they think they have God's intellect. God makes cheshbonis whom we can't begin to understand, because they're over a long period of time. We can't turn the clock back and understand why the hand of God acts in reaction to something that might have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or maybe even 100 years ago. Things happen, and we do not know why. And so we could never, I had one of my mispalim in shul tell me, when he asked me why I canceled an affair, canceled one function in the shul, and he said, why? And I told him, it's the 9 days, and we're mourning over this. What is that all about? And I told him, and he said, how many years ago? Get over it. I said, we don't get over it. That's what keeps us going. If we would get over it, we would be lost. We can't get over it. And that's what keeps us going, and that's what keeps us on the straight and narrow so that we could move ahead. And that's why other cultures and other religions are suffering. We see so many things happening in the world today. And God is telling him, Abuim Shana Hashem Elokecha Imoch. God has been with you. You may not realize it, but God has been carrying you for 40 years, and we have to always remember that. And so that's what he's trying to impress upon them by the end of the parsha. And he tells them that all the wars that they've gone through and all the wars that we will have and who we can, and we get to Lot. That from Lot's actions, we would think that just telling you that you can't get the land from Ammon and Moab, you don't get the land from Esau, because I promised these people their own Yerusha, their own inheritance. But then why was Moshe, Chazal tell us that Moshe was afraid of Og Melech HaBashan, or it says he, why was he still have a little nervous? Because just to show you how God treats people, if Og was still alive at this time, it's that he was deserving of something. And we say, Vayavo HaPolit, Vayaged Li Avram Hoevri, and Bereshis, all the way back when when Og did a favor for Avraham, Moshe still had thoughts, perhaps, that God will pay him back and that Og will not be able to be defeated. And so we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was a little queasy about the battle of with Og, but of course we know that he was successful in the end. And he's trying to impress upon them that they are going into the land and he is not. And may we keep that in mind. And of course there are so many things to say in reference to that, but these are the things that we have in the parsha. And Moshe Rabbeinu is waxing poetic over here, and God, as I said, giving him license to say all these things, and he's doing an excellent job because he's talking now from his heart. And obviously Moshe realizes perhaps the way God expressed himself through Moshe didn't resonate with the people that much, and now he's trying to say things that will tug at their heartstrings. Sometimes we say something that strikes a chord. We could have people tell us things, warn us. We could have doctors warn us about situations that if we don't take better care of ourselves, certain things will happen. But every once in a while, a doctor may say something that suddenly rings true. I know I had that in my life with certain little things, and after it was over, and the doctor said, if you don't want it again, I know you shouldn't eat this or drink this. And he just said to me, remember the pain. And it really worked. And that was, sometimes you say one thing, and Moshe is trying to get that catchphrase that will carry them through a life without him. And he reminds them that Vitzaves Yoshua v'chaskeyu v'yametzeyu, that he's telling the people, not just him, to give strength to Yoshua, but he's telling the people, Klal Yisrael, that Yoshua is going to be the leader, but he's going to need to get strength from you. You people have to fall in line and be faithful to Yoshua, and that will give him strength to be your leader, and you'll have to listen. And that's what hopefully that we get. May we all have a meaningful fast, and may this be the last Tisha B'Av. May Moshe's message resonate to us all, that the fast is the last one that we have for Tisha B'Av. And we see the end of our Golus, and we don't have to say, Gambi Hisanaf Hashem Biglal Chem Leimor. We don't want anybody taking a hit for us. We want to earn our own stripes. Have a good week. Thank you very much.
Amen.